Okay, Ron, thank you so much. And also, the study number for the tape is 181 for this day. And I forgot last week to make it 180, but I guess we'll figure it out.
Chip's pretty good. He'll figure it out.
Get it going anyway. But that's where we are. We're in Titus 3. And we don't have too many verses of scripture left in Titus, but we still have 2 Timothy to go. So here we are. But we're in Titus 3, and we left off with verse 5 last week, but I want to read it again. And then we're going to read 6 and do like we've been doing and take Jack's notes and Jack's scripture verses that he has left for us in his book. And we're going to look at these two verses of scripture, hopefully. And there's not a whole lot of scripture in verse 6, but in verse 7, it's rather large, and Jack has loaded us down with some in it. So it's probably be a situation to get 6 and 7 done, but we want to start with 5 again. So we've talked about being foolish in this chapter of Titus, and certainly we were all foolish at one time by not knowing or not having Christ. But hopefully that's changed for the ones that are with us tonight, and the ones that are with us each and every week as we open the Word and go through it. And, but to realize, you know, the foolishness, that, and the pleasures that man can dream up is sometimes not what God really cares about, but certainly it's, deals with, our being, saved. And having been washed by regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to read verse 5. It says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." And you remember, in the last study, we talked some about this, because this regeneration and renewing here is the situation that we're involved in when the Holy Spirit enters into us, and we become truly, we become the true believers in Christ, because the Holy Spirit's not going to dwell in a place that's not clean, or a place that's sinful, greatly sinful. That's just not what the Holy, that's not the work of the Holy Spirit. And the work of the Holy Spirit certainly is, he don't make of himself no reputation. The Spirit doesn't do that, but only does what the Father and the Son asked him to do. And so that's where we are here in this study. And then we get down to verse 6. And I'll read it out of Titus 3:6. I'll read it out of the King James Version. It says, "Which he has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." And that's just a short verse, but it's like some of these other verses. It's well laden with understanding and thoughts that we need to look at. And certainly this is what we're here to do. So verse 6, I'm going to read you my notes now after reading the King James Version of the Scripture. It says, which he shed, and that shed there, or he shed, is a pouring out, if you will. And that is an attribute to God, and the Spirit spoken of as if it be, and the Holy Spirit spoken of as if it be water. You know, to pour out something, it needs to be in a form that, you know, you can, especially liquid, you know, it's, now you can pour out granulated stuff or ground or gold or rocks or whatever you have, but, the pouring out here is an attribute to the Holy Spirit as if it were water or some liquid or cleansing agent, if you will. It says on us, and this on us here is downward pressure from the God, from the Godhead to rest upon the person. And this is, the abusive case. And it says has removed to the mind or, oh, it has a reference to a person's mind or feeling. And I got to get my glasses out because I'm short on that a little bit. Let me get them out. I don't know if it'll help my writing much, but it'll help me to see a little better anyway. So the situation here, it's like the God has put, has the Holy Spirit to pressure us, and it comes from the Godhead to rest upon the person in the abusive case, and it has reference to the mind or feeling because it deals with our senses. And, when you think about it a little bit, that's a large portion of the work of the Holy Spirit is to take what we have and perfect it to a point that God can use it at all times for all things for the individual. And I've always said that whenever the Holy Spirit enters a person, it doesn't leave a scar. It wasn't like circumcision. With circumcision, you always had a scar, but it was something that wasn't to be publicly used. It was a private thing. And a lot of our senses are mind things and or things that we control within ourselves in order to be the people that has a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said it was to be used abundantly. And the word abundantly here goes back to the word wisdom. And abundantly is with richness and wisdom through Christ Jesus our Savior, which it shows in pure truth. Because with the Godhead, you're not going to get any false stuff. It's all going to be truth. And whether we've took time to think about it or not, We can believe God's word. We can believe what God says. And so there's a few places that we won't look at, but let's look at Jack's first and see what Jack has left for us. Out of the Koine Greek. Out of the Koine Greek, verse 6. And it's already been done for us in Jack's book, and I certainly love that immensely. It says, which he poured forth upon us richly through Jesus Christ, the Savior of us. And that certainly makes a lot of sense. It says, which he richly poured forth upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, or the Savior of us. And here's Jack's notes. The word indicates that there is no stinginess in Christ pouring forth of his blood to wash the sinner's sin or sins. Abundantly or richly is the word used here to express the availability of the cleansing power. This is done upon us through Jesus Christ. The truth separates reality from religion. There is no efficiency in religion to wash any man's sins. There is no acceptance from the truth of God of human nostrums of purification. Only one name is efficient and acceptable. And if you want to look at that one name, you can look at it in Acts 4, verse 12. Now, it's not in the list here that we have, but sometimes Jack puts it in his notes, and I generally put it in, but I didn't put it in this particular time. I'm going to Acts 2 anyway, but we can go to Acts 4 when we get there, because I can do it that way, and we probably will do it that way. But to start off with the first verses of Scripture, we want to go back to Zechariah 12:10. Now, Zechariah is the second book from the end of the Old Testament. I love to read Zechariah because Zechariah has lots of things to say, because Zechariah is actually, him and his companion guy, which is Malachi, were prophets kind of at the same time. So I'm going to read Zechariah 12:10, and it's on page 1293 if you got a companion Bible. 1293. 1210. And it says, and I will pour upon the house of David. Now there, here's the word pour again. Yep. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. Full stop. And they shall look upon me whom they pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So Zechariah is telling them here that this pouring out is going to take place, and it's going to be poured out first, I guess, or early, upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Because you remember what Christ promised them in Acts 2, I believe it is, where he says, remain here in Jerusalem until Pentecost. Because at that point, the Comforter will come. And so the Comforter, when the Comforter came, it had an outward appearance, but it had an inward work. You know, it shone like cloven tongues of fire upon the heads of those that it came to in the beginning, which was about 120, I believe, that they talked about. But it was the inward thing. It was the Holy Spirit indwelling man, because man needs that really that truth that only the Holy Spirit can provide through us for all the things that is needed between us and the Godhead. You know, I think Satan at one time was over the angelic order. And that's what got him into trouble, because he wanted to be something better than that or something different from that. But you see, the Holy Spirit, through the direction of Christ Jesus, gives us this understanding in a way that comes from the inner man. You know, we talk about the old man and the new man. We need to realize that the Holy Spirit is the inflection of the new man, and what Satan gave to us is the old man. So we have both within, and they're always at war. And I think that's part of the deal that we get wound up with in Genesis 2, where he said, I'll put enmity between the seeds. And so that enmity there is the warfare that goes on that we quite often don't really think of too much. But it certainly is that way. And I'll go on, because we got some other things to look at too. Okay. First off, we want to go to Acts 2. We want to go to Acts 2, 17 through 21. Okay, and it's on page 1579. And then we'll look at Acts 4:12 too while we're here. Acts 2:17. And this is a quote. And it's quoted from Joel 2:28-31. And it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor and smoke. And the sun shall be turned in the darkness, and the moon in the blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Full stop. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, that's 17 through
21.
Okay, let's go to Acts 4. We'll look at Acts 4:12, because...
And just in case you didn't think that they understood in the book of Acts that they were living in the last days.
Yeah.
It says, and it shall come to pass in the last days.
Yeah.
And Peter told them, this prophecy is here.
It's yeah.
Filled in your ears.
4:12. 4:12 said, neither is there salvation in any other. Well, let's just go back to 11 and read it. This is the stone which was set at naught of your builders, which has become the head of the corner. And you know, a headstone or a cornerstone is the basis of your building. And it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Okay. And they were looking at the boldness of Peter and John here. And they thought they were ignorant and unlearned men. But they realized how things has changed now. Okay.
Well, they've been with Jesus.
Yeah. When God gets a hold of something, he can change it one way or the other for sure. Okay, let's look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians. I'll get there in a minute. Okay, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 3 through 9. Because these verses of scriptures are loaded with things that Paul is trying to get these men to teach, because he was talking to a lot of the Israelites who were happy with a kingdom hope. And there was something different now, something else here. Okay. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord. This is on page 1760, Ephesians 1. And from the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And boy, if you want to get somebody that's raised up in a traditional church, explain that verse to them in a 5-minute deal. They'll look at you like you're gone nuts. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So we have become, as we have been chosen, and as we come to the point in our life to where we understand and believe this, and the Holy Spirit indwells us, then we realize that we have become a saint of God through adoption. A saint of Christ through the adoption process. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein we have made us accepted in the beloved. We have been engraced in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And I put in my Bible in the notes 54:28, and I think that's the Strong's number. And I put insight there because you need insight. Wisdom.
Enlightenment.
Yep. Enlightenment gives you this wisdom, and the knowledge gives you the insight that we can, having been made known unto us the mystery of His will. And this was a mystery that had been held back. It had not been poured out upon anyone in this way until it was made known to the Apostle Paul this time. And it says, it's according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. What was the point of going and hanging on the cross? Because this was something that was constructed by the Father and the Son even before the world began. They had made an agreement that this would be the way it was going to take place. And it wasn't known. It wasn't given to man in little bits and pieces like it was given to the prophets. But it was given that one would come that would have salvation. But here we understand. We have, it was done and given by mystery of God, by something that He held back for ages and aeons until it became necessary to proclaim it to us. We should be, as a people, the most gracious of anybody in the world, because it says in Acts 28, we'll go to the Gentiles and they'll hear this. Well, it was something that was going to be heard that had not been heard before by nobody, not any of those, including the kingdom of God and the heavenly city that was promised. It wasn't there. It was in the mind of God. And here we have it. How great it is that we understand that. One other place in this verse of Scripture. I want to go to Colossians. I want to go to Colossians 1. I want to go to Colossians 1. We're going to read 12 through 14. We're going to start on page 1781 and finish it on 1782. If you have a companion Bible, that'd be the way it is. After reading Ephesians, we certainly need to give thanks unto the Father. And this is verse 12 of Colossians 1. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And if you need to know what the light is, you can go to appendage 130 and look at it. 130.
Light of the world.
What? Huh?
Want to be within the light of the world? I do.
Yeah. Okay. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Well, a lot of people don't like to be in the light. They'd rather be in the darkness because that's who they live for. They live for Satan and his. But here, he's talking about Christ, who is our body, the head of the body,
Amen.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Even there has been added, but we got redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins. Because the even has been added in there by those that done this. But that's what we're talking about here. And how great it is to realize that we have a hope that's not the heavenly city that comes down out of heaven with the streets of pure gold and all that. But our hope is the body of Christ and him being our head.
Amen.
And whatever he desires, whatever it is, and when we get life given back to us, and it's certainly not going to be like the life we've got now. All things are made new, it says.
I think we're going to pray that.
You got to remember. You got to remember. That's the way it is. Okay. So we've got this first scripture down, and let's turn back to let's turn back to Titus again and look at verse 7. I've got notes all over my Bible. Verse 7 says this, reading it out of the King James, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see, when Christ takes away one hope, he can give you something better, because in dealing with the Godhead, he deals with us in that manner. Now, it goes from the lesser to the higher. It never goes back from the higher back. If it does, you're in a heap of trouble, because there's a lot there. There's a lot there that could be lost. Okay? Now, let's look at the notes here. Look at my notes. Not that it's such a great thing, but I sit down and try to look at these things and look back and forth at the stuff that I have that I use to do my studies with, and I try to get everything that I can get, but I know it still just scratches the surface. That, or in order that, being justified. What is it to be justified? To set forth as righteous or just. It means fit or meet. We just read that, in some of the notes that we just read. To be fit or meet as being able to come together. In order to learn, we need to come together and have this fellowship. And the fellowship is where we talk about situations that we're not fully understanding of at the point, at a certain point in time. And a lot of times people have a lot of disagreements. But to be able to come together and to gel as a group, that word is dikluo. And it's by His grace. And by His grace is the word Zoe, which is life, Zoe. Life in all its manifestation, from God down to its lowest form. Life in opposition to death, with resurrection, which is life and eternal life. We should be made, or truly become heirs, hold a part in, or have, according to the hope of eternal life, which in time is measured by God's standard. And certainly, God has made time for us, and we need to realize that we are creatures of time, and we have been ever since He created Adam. Now, let's go to the Workman's Interlinear and see what Brother Jack says about it. Okay, out of the Koine Greek, it says, that having been justified by His grace, heirs, we should become, according to hope, of life age. That having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to hope of life age. So let's look at Jack's notes, because he laid several upon us here. It says, our sins have been dealt with through the finished work of Christ. Therefore, we're justified. There was no part of our righteousness in this justification. It certainly was all of grace. Nevertheless, we become heirs as a result. We are heirs as members of the body of Christ to the exalted position at the right hand of God for the age. The length of this is not measured in earthly units of time.
That's a good point.
It is more correctly thought of as being measureless, purely according to the will of God.
Yep.
See, that's the reason we were told early on in Scripture, and the people that were being written to in those times, in those dispensations, it says to reverence God, but to fear God, because He holds the time limit that we have. I've written me a little book. I got about 2/3 done. I got to get back on it. But I said, you know, the time that we have is kind of like a checkbook. And every day you get up, it's like you tear one out of the book. Mm-hmm. Okay. The question is, How thick is the book? And how long is this going to last? We don't know. Because if we knew that, it would drive us nuts, probably, in a sense.
I've often said that if we knew when our day was, that we wouldn't live the same life. You would begin to prepare or live as if you were preparing for that day every minute.
Yeah. And so
trying to figure out how to get around it.
Yeah, so that takes away from that takes away from the love of what Christ did on the cross. So that's the important factor here in that sense. It is more correctly thought of as measureless. So when we deal with God, the yardstick is of very little importance because it's up to Him as to how long the yardstick is, basically. Purely according to the will of God. Oh, what great thoughts. Gee, how can you add anything to it? Well, it's already been added to in the Bible. So, you know, the Bible is written in such a way that you can't look at just one place and get the picture. The picture's like a jigsaw puzzle. You got to put the pieces in, make it work to get the picture. That's the way it works. That's how the measure is by God's standards. Okay, we're going to start this time in Acts 15. We're going to have to kind of hurry on to get it in. Acts 15. In Acts 15, we're going to look at verses 7 through 11 in Acts 15. It's on page 1616. Starting at 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brother, know how that a good while ago God made choices among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them for fear purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. And so that was Acts 15, and then, you know, this is about the time when Luke came on the scene in Acts, and he uses the word us here in Acts.
We
are us, yeah. So we need to remember that also. Okay, I want to go to Romans next, and then in Romans, there's about three places. And let's see where the first one is. I want to go to Romans 3 first. Okay, in Romans 3, we want to look at 24 through 26. That's on page 1688 and 1689. 24 through 26, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth as a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Christ Jesus. Okay, let's go from 3 there. Let's turn over a page or two to Romans 5. We're going to look at Romans 5. 1 and 2. And that's 1671, a couple of pages over. And it said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8. Let's see what we got in Romans 8. 3 places there. We're going to look at verses 16 through 24. And boy, it's hard sometimes to get these things down. You just want to keep reading. 8:16, page 1678. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, full stop. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be it that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Let's see. Oh, 24. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, what does he yet hope for? So you see, we do this by hope, by faith in him and that hope. Okay. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 8. Second Corinthians 8. We're going to look at 6 through 9. That's on page 17 89. Yeah. Okay, we're going to look. It says this, insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So you see, even in 2 Corinthians, you got Titus there. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Yep. The inheritance is the richest, the richness of all of it. Yes, absolutely. Okay, Galatians 1:6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. 1749, I'm sorry. And he says, and this is books of corrections. And Paul says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, which is another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. Okay. We're going to go to chapter 3 of Galatians, a couple of pages over, I guess, 26 through 29. 3, 26 through 29. And this is on page 1754. It says, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For we all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you be in Christ, if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seeds and heirs according to promise. Okay, then we want to go to Galatians 5. Next page over, I think. Yeah. Galatians 5, we're going to look at 4 through 6. Christ has become of none effect to you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Okay. I want to go back to Ephesians again. Ephesians. I didn't see Jack do this very much. But Ephesians 1. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, on page 1760, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both of which in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Okay, I want to go down to verse 22 and 23 in this same chapter. The last two verses of Ephesians 1. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the assembly or to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And that's speaking of the pleroma of Christ. Okay, two more places. Want to go back to Colossians 1. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5 to 10. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and brings forth fruit as it doeth, also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful, do every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And we'll stop it with that today. So, yeah, we did. We worked it out about right. So, I don't know, Jack. Boy, he really puts a lot of thought into those things that when he reads Scripture, he goes back and he looks for those certain tidbits that sometimes we don't just take the time to look as we read. And, of course, I used to read with my grandmother, and it was more reading than studying, and I come to understand later on in my life that
there's a big difference.
There's a great difference.
Amen.
Between studying and just reading, because to understand that it's there in bits and pieces, that it just rolls out and rolls out and rolls out to you when you get somebody that really knows and understands. That's the reason it's done that way. Because when we get back to 2 Timothy, it says, study to show yourself approved. Yeah. You gotta put in that study. Folks, it's like sending your kid to college and him not studying. He tries to get everything he needs from the head of the whatever it is they're getting at. And sometimes he gives you the stuff that you need to look, or where you need to look to see and get it for yourself. Because there's nothing like getting it for yourself. To let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct our life. You just don't get no better than that. Amen. Truly. Best we can do is still a surface treatment. Quite a lot of times. But all this is to try to get us to understand and to realize that we grow with the knowledge and the understanding of each other and allow the Holy Spirit to mix us or mold us together in a grouping that we can truly get some truth out of these things. Because what Satan's putting forth, what the world's putting forth, is just not truth. Most often times. That's bad duty to say that, but that's the way it is. That's the way Satan works. He don't want you to know. He'd rather have you dumb. But here we are. Hopefully we're not dumb. God bless you. Good to be with you.